This is Marketing Over Coffee with Christopher Penn and John Wall.
Good morning. Welcome to Marketing Over Coffee. I'm John Wall.
I'm Christopher Penn.
And we are here on site at the Omni in the Seaport, Marketing Pros B2B. And they have a huge crowd. There's over 800 people.
So yeah, 850 folks.
I'm surprised that I was concerned with the state of the economy and the way things have been going that maybe it would take a hit. But they're definitely at pre-COVID crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have been for the last year or two. Once everyone came back, I mean, one of the things that's great about the event is they put a lot of attention to detail to, like, attendee care. Like, the food is always good. The space is well designed and things like that. And they really think about the attendee experience in a way that very few other conferences do. You know, other ones do, to some degree, but not to the level of, I would almost call it obsession, that the team that puts into the event.
Yeah, and as I know, I've talked a bit to the profs team too. The attendees are the key. You know, for a lot of tech shows, it's just all about the vendors, and
yeah,
people are pretty much just cattle. It's like, you know, get them through. But that is that's the chunk of the revenue that they're most interested in keeping it going. So that makes it great. But we've got to talk about it. You've just been all over Gemini 3.
Yeah.
It's dropped. So what's going on with that?
So it's Google's newest model. It came out on yesterday. So whatever date today is, I think it was the 18th of November.
Yeah, on a trade show time here,
we're exactly
trapped, and this was Tuesday the 18th.
Yeah, and it is, as of today, and this, of course, is a moving target, the smartest model on the market by a considerable margin. So the Diamond GPQA score, which measures PhD level skills in a discipline, humans score 65% on that test, typically. Humans outside that domain score 25% because it's just multiple choice, just guess. Gemini scores a 92%, so it's a full almost 30 points higher than a PhD in their area of study, which is nuts. So there's that. They, on Humanities Last Exam, which is this very complex sort of reasoning exam, the GPT 5.1, which is OpenAI's newest model, it came out like 2 weeks ago. They scored a 26%, Google scores a 45%, so almost double performance there. And the thing is that they released a bunch of stuff with it. So they released this tool called Anti-Gravity, which is their new coding tool. It's agentic coding. So it's all AI agents helping you write code. They released built-in agents within the Gemini experience itself. So you can just give it a prompt and it will build its own agents to try and do the thing. Like, check my Gmail, figure out who I need to reply to, and draft some responses. And it will go through it and it will do that. But the thing that really stood out to me that I posted on LinkedIn the other day was, they are putting Gemini 3 into Google search results, particularly in AI mode, where it will draft and create its own web pages as responses to searches. So instead of just giving you a summary of text, or instead of giving you links to click on, you say, you know, how do I poach an egg? It will make you an infographic and a recipe. So Google would rather use Gen AI to build a new web page than send you traffic. So for all of us in marketing, this, like, kind of sucks.
Yeah. totally taking over the way that information is presented. So I can see in things that are cut and dry, those pages would come up, you know, dead on the mark. And thank God we can get to a recipe where you don't have to scroll through like 35 pages to get to the recipe, but that's another rant. But what do you think about in areas where topics aren't that clear? I mean, will it still hallucinate on those pages and just kind of do its best guess?
We don't know, because it's only starting to roll out, but it's going to be something that everyone's going to have to test to figure out how does it come up with its answers. They said they improved the query fan out mechanism to find more and better sources as it's processing. The big thing, the immediate takeaway that we've been saying this now for 3 years, you need to look at your Google Search Console. You need to look at your unbranded search that's coming into your site, and you need to say, this is going away. All unbranded search is just going to go away, so all that's left is branded. If unbranded search forms more than, you know, 30% of your traffic, you've got a problem, because you're going to lose 30% of your search traffic. And the antidote to that, A, is build as strong a brand as you can, because people will still search for, like, marketing over coffee, and Google will be like, yeah, here's where you're trying to go. And you absolutely positively need mechanisms for audience capture and retention that sit outside search and social. So that means things like an email newsletter. That means things like a podcast. Anything where you can reliably reach your audience without someone else's AI in the middle.
And then is this changing anything as far as the way you're thinking about how to try and get into those AI results or do a better job there?
Not really, because this is something that there's been a lot of confusion, even at this show, even listening to some of the speakers talking about AI optimization. They're not clear about the fact that there's three different stages of AI optimization. And this is the hard part. There is what the model knows. As what's been trained, all the master training data. That's where the advice, like, you know, be on every podcast that will have you, is important. And you need to be in the model training data so that the model even knows to invoke you. So, like, someone says, "What's the best marketing podcast?" Marketing Over Coffee will come up because the models know about us. So that's part one. Part two is if the model comes up with a response that its internal mechanisms say, "I have low confidence in this," it will trigger what's called tool handling, which means it will say, "You know what? I know that I can search the web. Let me go search for best marketing podcast because I'm not confident in my answer." It will retrieve those results. So that's your traditional SEO that you've been doing. You still need to keep doing because that fuels stage two. Then stage three is every tool has its own internal ranking mechanism for saying, hey, all these results came back from the web. Which ones should I believe? And so it's got its own mechanism for that. And though everybody's is different there. So ChatGPT has one set of mechanisms. Perplexity has another set. Gemini has another set. You have to figure out which tool your audience uses and then figure out what ranking mechanism that tool uses to make that determination, then optimize for that. So there's three different places you need to optimize for if you're doing AI optimization or whatever the heck we're calling it these days. And it's not one monolithic thing. So one strategy does not fit all.
Yeah, and then how about, it's interesting, the models themselves, can we just consider it that they're snapshotting, you know, so that when the new edition of the model comes out, whatever's already there internally, if it's not running out to get info, you just kind of have to make that cutoff. But if you don't make that cutoff, you're just out of luck.
Yep. Right? So Gemini 3, its cutoff date was January 2025. It's roughly annual for them. ChatGPT for the GPT models is between 6 and 18 months, depending on the model. And every model is different, and you know they usually list what their cutoff dates are. Some of them are still as far back as like 2024. So This is something, you know, building your brand things. Again, we've been talking about this since 2022, and if you've not been doing that, better late than never. But the best time to do this was 2 years ago.
Right. All right. We just have to take a second. We want to thank Next Insurance for their support of Marketing Over Coffee. You know how we're always talking about protecting your brand? Well, what about protecting your business? If you're a marketer, freelancer, or running a small agency, you already juggle a dozen things. Clients, campaigns, deadlines, cash flow. But here's the thing. One small mishap, a client dispute, or a contract issue can set you back fast. That's where Next Insurance comes in. They're built for small businesses, and they make it ridiculously easy to get covered. You can do it all online in minutes. No calls, no paperwork, no hassle. Your business can be covered today. With transparent pricing, flexible plans, and instant proof of insurance, Next helps you protect your work, your team, and your reputation so one mistake doesn't undo years of hustle. And here's the kicker. You can save up to 30% and get coverage for as little as a dollar a day. Because protecting your business shouldn't be complicated, it should be smart. Head to nextinsurance.com/MOC to get your quote today and see how easy business insurance can be. That's nextinsurance.com/MOC. Get your free quote today. Yeah, as we've said, you've got to have insurance. There's just no way around it, especially when you start selling larger organizations. They're going to require it. And, you know, you don't want to lose your house. That's just something that you don't want to happen. So check them out again, nextinsurance.com/MOC. And we thank them for their support of the show. How about, have you seen anything in academic papers or anything that give you tips as to how the different models actually do rank the content? Or is that completely behind the scenes and they don't make any of that available? Or
they don't make that available in papers. What they do talk about is the mechanisms. And so Google, for example, with Query Fanout, they have explained how that mechanism works. They even provided sample code for you to if you wanted to build your own. ChatGPT, enterprising folks have used network packet sniffers to watch the calls going back and forth between the web interface and the back-end servers to try and deconstruct what those calls are and see what's happening. Anthropic, you can actually see it in Claude Code, how it's querying, what search queries it's writing, and then how you can actually query it to say, like, how did you make those decisions? And in all cases, you can ask them, based on the sources you provided, explain your reasoning for how you chose what sources to include and what sources not to include. It will still hallucinate some of the time, but you can give it very specific, very technical terms, like show me the sources by quartile of probability for inclusion in the result, and it will force it to think and then explain back to some degree.
Oh, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that too. You can just ask the machine, how are you doing? What, you know, tell us how that normally works. And so that's in there.
You got to use particularly technical statistical terms, because that will force the model to, instead of saying, oh, well, I try to get the best balance of this or that, say, no, tell me which quartiles and show me the probabilities by quartile of how you decided these things. And then it's like, okay, here's the math.
Right, yeah, then it's got to drop a table because there's just no other way to do that. Okay, so this week we had Cloudflare taking ahead. I've heard it was an AI-backed attack, too. I don't know. Is that, that's just...
No. So the official response for them was that their bot detection software, they pushed a new release of it, and it broke. And they had to roll it back, basically. What the official blog post said.
Okay, so they've stepped on their own toe is the way that works.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see the volume of stuff that went down.
Yeah, like OpenAI. And Twitter.
yeah, things that just collapse. People can't get their work done for the day now when these things go down and they take the hit.
Yeah, I mean, there's three big providers. If they go down, a good chunk of your day is toast. AWS, Cloudflare, or Google Cloud. If one of those three goes down, you're having a really bad day. It's interesting, Google services, Google runs its own massive internal DNS system. So while OpenAI went down and Twitter went down and a bunch of other things went down, all Google services were fine because they don't use that infrastructure. They have their own. So they've sort of built their own little walled garden.
Yeah, well, and that's amazing. The data that they get out of that is pretty much everything that's passed. And especially if the other ones go down, then they'll get all the traffic. Right?
Yeah.
Everything will go.
Well, yeah, because you'll DNS is a mesh network, so it'll route to where it can respond.
They're the only survivor, so they get all the gold at that point. All right, so how about as far as the event going around? Have you seen anything interesting or cool, or what's got your attention?
I've sat in on a bunch of sessions and things, and what I think is very interesting, and this is something that we won't put in the show notes, just it's for listeners only. If you're speaking at an event, there's now an expectation that you're going to provide something like a custom GPT or a gem or a notebook LM or something with your talk so that people have a takeaway that is interactive. I was sitting in one session the other day, and I was like, this person was going through, the top 10 things you need to do for conversion rate optimization on this kind of page. And I'm like, you know what? A custom GPT that assessed your 10 things and provided a scoring rubric would be perfect as an accompaniment to this thing. I'm doing the closing keynote today, and even for just a 15-minute talk, I am providing the prompts and everything in a download that people said that I used to generate the talk and step through how did this talk come together, so that people can learn from it and use it. And they have the transcript of the talk that already, so they can load it into their favorite gem if they want to ask questions and stuff. But I have not seen a single speaker yet provide that level of supplementary materials. Like, we do that with our own stuff. I'm in the midst of getting Katie's talk processed, and there's going to be a notebook LM with the transcript of Katie's talk and her slides and things, so that when we release the thing, people can go back and ask the session questions, and it just provides so much more value to the attendees. I've also not seen a single event other than ours provide a notebook of all the sessions, right? So when we did our event in London, I took the entire thing and I put the transcript of all 6 hours into this notebook and all the 400 of the slides and things, so people can ask questions the entire day. And what were we doing just before lunch around this? Well, in the transcript it says, okay, we're going to break for lunch now. So the model can go back and say, okay, what was happening just before lunch? Those add-ons are missing from events. And they're not hard to do. They just require a little bit of expertise and the time to do it. But I feel like there's a decided advantage waiting for the savvy event planner to implement that at an event.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I have been impressed. I mean, I've seen a lot of use of QR codes, people saying, hey, follow me on LinkedIn, and a few having case studies or other supplementary materials that you can just grab with a scan. So that's impressive. But yeah, having a full notebook LM set up so that it stays on the guardrails and it's everything you covered, that would be another great in. I'm trying to think of stuff on the exhibit floor. One vendor gave me a coupon to get a custom Lego minifig. You could build your own. That actually got me to go talk to a booth, so I have to give them some credit for that. But otherwise, it's a classic trade show. You know, Walk the floor, talk to the vendors. ABM, as much as we complain about it, it is still more than half the booths are like, hey, yeah, we've added AI to this. Like, mm-hmm. it's the AI to everything. So, yeah, that's
good. Did you see anything that made you go, huh, that's a good idea?
good question. Let me think. What is the interesting things that I saw? Most of it, you know, the big one that was interesting and showing off the value of the show is, you know, I go around to a bunch of booths and talk to them about what their products do, but then talking to the other attendees about, mm-hmm. hey, have you used this one? Have you used that one? And for them to say, oh, yeah, we use this and it doesn't work as well as these other two. That kind of information is hugely useful. Like, that's saving me time back at the desk of chasing stuff down. Yeah, and then there's some smoke and mirrors demos, too, I've seen. There's some stuff that I watched where I'm like, no, I don't, the internet doesn't work like that. Like, you can't do that. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, or worse, that's illegal.
Yeah, right, exactly. You could use that, and then next week you won't be able to send any emails, so you're going to be in trouble. So, yeah, there wasn't anything that just completely rocked my world as far as, like, wow, I've never thought of doing it that way. But there's a lot of interesting stuff with people patching stuff together, mm-hmm. you know, things that there's a firm that does both AdRoll, HubSpot, and then campaign management, like all rolled up into one ball.
Yeah.
And so that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, no, I guess like nothing shocking where I was like, oh my God, this is, you know, a better way to cut bread or whatever.
It's funny because software itself is in such a vulnerable spot. One of the things that came out in Gemini 3 was an enhanced vibe coding studio within AI Studio where you can say, let's build this project and it will, you know, help you set up the GitHub repo and stuff. I'm doing this right now with these clipping services that, you know, you upload your video, it provides you all these clips and they're, you know, $29.59, $199 a month or whatever. And I'm like, it's not technically that hard. So I have a project set up in Claude Code where I said, here's the features I want this thing to have. Let's replicate this. And I'm almost done building my own version of one of these things that runs on my machine. And it cost me $0. I will pay $0 for this service that, you know, other people charge $199 a month for. If you're a software company and you don't have a value prop outside of your software, it is trivial with like a model like Gemini 3 to say, okay, here's this company and what they do. Here's their features. Let's build a version of this that's ours that we don't have to pay for.
Yeah, completely cut it out of the loop. And that is, there were a couple sessions talking about, you know, AI as your employee. Mm-hmm. And I found this show is where that finally broke for me. I'm like, no, like, this is software. You have to talk about it as software, especially because of the fact that it integrates on other points.
You know?
Like, humans don't integrate to anything. They're just a stump at the end of the tree, you know. So it's a different take. I guess I can understand where people think about how to plug it into an org chart and where it sits.
Yeah.
But it's really...
The dream people have there is that agentic AI will swap out for, like, you know, the junior most employee. And at a task level, the answer is yes. So, like, if you have an employee, like at the old PR firm I worked at, there was an account coordinator whose job it was to copy stuff out of Google search results into a spreadsheet. Like, okay, that job's going away.
Right? Yeah,
that job should have gone away 10 years ago. But it's very clear that all of those simple tasks, yes, you're not going to have a synthetic person, but those individual tasks, they're going away.
Right, yeah. That's classic automation of tasks.
Yep.
It's not a robot sitting at a desk.
Yeah, it's not like, a robot sitting at a desk. Exactly.
Not how that works, where that's going to go. All right, so other stuff we've got going on. I have to just give a random shout out. I did an Expendables film festival and watched all four of those.
Did it go down in quality like you expected?
No, one and two are good. Three was a little worse. Four is like one of the worst movies I've ever seen, just period. Never mind. Yeah, it's funny. It is interesting to talk about where it's gone. So tech came in huge with the fourth one. They went to digital cameras.
Mm.
And that created a whole ton of problems, not the least of which is it showed how fake everything looked, all the sets and everything, and making the actors look bad.
Right.
And then you see how it caused, you know, certain actors all dropped out. But yeah, just interesting how bad that tanked. But yeah, the first couple are good. If you're an old, you know, 80s action movie fan, like, it's worth it for the laughs and the cameos. to get that going. I've got the holiday shopping list will be out before Black Friday. So, and yeah, condolences to all marketers getting ready for their Black Friday campaigns and trying to scramble and get things going. I don't know, anything with the shopping season? Are you looking for anything for Black Friday? Or?
No, not really. I mean, there's always that list I keep on Amazon of when this goes on sale, I might buy it. But there's nothing like, oh, I've got to get this. There really is no must-have anymore. And with, you know, wheel of tariffs and whatever, everything's like twice the price it is anyway. So it's like, you know what, there's nothing urgent. And again, this is where the whole Gen AI thing comes in. A lot of the cool stuff that is out there is software. And I'm like, I could just build that myself. I don't need to go spend money on this. When I could spend, you know, I'm already spending money on the AI subscription. So why not just have the machinery build it for me?
Yeah, build the tool and let it run. No, that's definitely a way to get things off the plate and not sign up for yet another SaaS product.
Exactly, exactly. Or at some point, maybe even sell it yourself to say, you know what, this is good. This is production quality enough that you say, okay, instead of you know, paying $49.99 a month, you can just buy this thing one time for like $9. I have been toying a lot with the idea of, what could you do something like that with coding tools, with these agentic coding tools, and make things that were like charitable? So like, okay, this product, you know, yes, the code source code's available. If we compile it for you and you donate, you know, $29 to our favorite charity, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, that's kind of the old WordPress model, you know, of like you could make something useful, put it out for free, and then you can just be like, okay, well, if you want support with this, or if you want us to start building extra stuff just for you, then there's a business model too. You can have revenue support that and run. So
yeah,
that's definitely something that can have legs going forward. All right. So any other thoughts from wrapping up the show? Closing thoughts?
No, I'm doing the closing keynote today, and I gotta then immediately get on the road to do another keynote tomorrow in Southbridge, Massachusetts, for the Massachusetts Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. So just nonstop, and then next week is the Thanksgiving holiday, and then it is the year end sprint.
All right, that sounds good. Yeah, we've got everything in the show notes. You can sign up for the text line at 617-812-5494. But that's going to do it for us for today from Boston. What would I say after that?
That's all for this week. Enjoy the coffee.
Enjoy the coffee. That'll work.
You've been listening to Marketing Over Coffee. Christopher Penn blogs at christophersp.com. Read more from John J. Wall at jw5150.com. The Marketing Over Coffee theme song is called Mellow G by Funk Masters, and you can find it at Music Alley from Mevio, or follow the link in our show notes.